You're listening to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
I'm Nancy Ross Flanagan. What happens when politics and ideology drive policy decisions related to climate change, endangered species, and other scientific and environmental issues? How can scientists ensure that their input into the policy process is weighed objectively and impartially? Those issues were discussed July 6th and 7th at the Douglas Lake Summit on Scientific Integrity at the University of Michigan Biological Station in Pellston. Newt Nadelhofer directs the biological station.
By scientific integrity, we mean maintaining the independence of science by not interfering with the basic fundamental research process, which consists of asking questions or hypotheses, collecting data, interpreting results, and reporting conclusions. That's what scientists do, the scientific method: free inquiry, data collection, and interpretation. And scientists are concerned when any part of this process is compromised or threatened, if they are asked to suppress their findings, if findings are recast or misrepresented, or when important data or conclusions are ignored or misused. Our high standard of living in the U.S., our sustained economic progress, and our level of public health is in no small part due to our nation's investment in scientific research and its respect for the independence of science. Our investment in science has led to the U.S. assuming unequaled leadership in the global scientific community. Witness the large numbers of non-U.S. citizens who are applying to graduate programs in science in the U.S. But science has always been subject to manipulation and suppression. Galileo was suppressed. No political party or administration has had a monopoly on this. Recently, however, there has been a great deal of pressure on university scientists, government agency scientists, and even graduate students who are experiencing misinterpretation or suppression of their results. For example, we've had manipulations on many fronts: toxic mercury emissions, childhood lead poisoning, breast cancer research, reproductive science and abstinence-only education, workplace safety, and most importantly, from my point of view, environmental issues.
You mentioned some issues we all care about, but are there other reasons why non-scientists should care about scientific integrity?
We have a responsibility to use accurate information to formulate our environmental and public health policies. This is why non-scientists should be concerned. We all benefit from policies, both environmental and public health, that are informed by unbiased science.
Can you give us some examples of ways that political interference in science either has affected or might affect people in Michigan?
Political interference in science prevents policymakers from making fully informed decisions about public health, about safety, about the environment. And I can think of two examples of how this practice can affect the health and safety of people in Michigan. In 2005, we learned that the Environmental Protection Agency had distorted its analysis of the health impacts of mercury on the brain, on brain development in children and fetuses. The agency's own data showed that 8% of women between the ages of 16 and 49 had mercury levels in the blood that could lead to reduced IQ and motor skills in their children. Furthermore, the EPA senior management ignored science and instructed staff members to arrive at a predetermined conclusion favoring industry when they were creating limits on mercury emissions from coal-fired power plants. The regulations had 12 paragraphs lifted verbatim from industry documents in government regulations. Almost 2 million children in Michigan live within 30 miles of a coal-fired power plant. And currently, the state of Michigan has more than 60 fish advisories due to mercury, covering almost 140 miles of rivers and almost 900,000 acres of lake surface area. In addition, the coal industry is considering creating at least one additional coal-fired power plant in the state. So when we're considering safe levels of pollution in the air we breathe, the EPA is only allowed to consider health effects. Nothing else can be considered, including economic or even environmental effects. So at the end of last year, the EPA submitted a proposed rule to regulate emissions of a type of pollution known as particulate matter, or particle pollution. Researchers say that the new rule fails to protect public health and was not based on public health science. In an unprecedented move, members of the EPA's Clean Air Science Advisory Committee alleged that the EPA had, quote, twisted or misrepresented the panel's recommendations on a number of issues related to the proposed standards. For instance, the White House removed a sentence from the policy stating that air quality standards, quote, may have a substantial impact on the life expectancy of the U.S. population. That was removed from the report by the White House. If you want a source for that, the Philadelphia Inquirer, March 8, 2006, Time to Speak Up for Clean Air. Consultants hired by EPA estimate that fine particle pollution from power plants shortens the lives of over 980 Michiganians every year. Fine particle pollution from power plants causes over 142,000 lost work days, almost 1,000 hospitalizations, and over 24,000 asthma attacks yearly. 1,400 of those are so severe they require emergency room visits.
Why did the biological station decide to get involved in this issue by hosting the summit, and what do you hope will come of it?
A year ago last spring, I moderated a very well-attended panel on scientific integrity. It was a roundtable discussion co-sponsored by the Union of Concerned Scientists held at the U of M campus in Ann Arbor, where scientists discussed the seriousness of this problem and potential solutions that could better insulate science from politics across the board. These roundtables are attended by university students and faculty, but the conversation and the discussion was so interesting that we thought we would like to do some outreach, attract a broader audience. Now, the University of Michigan Biological Station attracts students from across the world. Our researchers are actively engaged in science that is used to inform policy. Moreover, there are many people from Michigan and the Midwest who spend summers in northern Michigan, and we thought we would invite a large public to include interactions of local government officials, state government officials, people from industry, and all walks of life in Michigan to our small campus in the north, and talk in small groups with panelists from across the country who've been invited. I hope that scientists and non-scientists will be better equipped to deal with science in the public realm, that they will understand the importance of effectively defending science from political interference. We hope that young scientists from across the U.S. who are at our field station will improve in their abilities to bring this issue to their home communities. And we hope that community members from around Michigan will become more engaged and interested in working with state and U.S. representatives and members of Congress to push bipartisan solutions to the problem of interference with science.
Are there other ways in which University of Michigan scientists are getting involved in this issue?
More than 250 Michigan scientists, including 75 from the U of M, have joined 9,500 or more of their colleagues across the country in signing a scientist statement on scientific integrity. Over the past 2 years, the statement has been cited scores of times in the media and in the halls of Congress as evidence of the scientific community's concern about the pervasiveness of this problem. The statement, which has been signed by 49 Nobel laureates, university presidents, senior science advisors to both the Republicans and the Democrats dating back to Eisenhower, can be found on the Union of Concerned Scientists website. You can sign yourself. The website is www.ucsusa.org. Last September, six scientists from Michigan traveled to Washington to meet with members of the Michigan congressional delegation about political interference in science, especially as it relates to global warming. They asked the representatives to support and co-sponsor the Restore Scientific Integrity in Federal Research and Policymaking Act, comprehensive legislation that would help address this problem. The legislation, however, has yet to receive a hearing in either the House or the Senate. Through the Union of Concerned Scientists, Michigan scientists keep abreast of threats to scientific integrity, and they respond with letters to the media, phone calls to officials and their colleagues, and dialogues with people in their local communities. So the UCS program on restoring scientific integrity is a valuable point of communication for all of us who are concerned with this issue and who are concerned with arriving at bipartisan solutions. This is not a political issue. Scientists from Michigan have spoken about this topic at society meetings, including the American Association for the Advancement of Science, AAAS meetings, in the past 2 or 3 years. We have a researcher at the U of M, Professor Joanna Kempner, who studies the ways that scientists self-censor and shift their work away from controversial areas when they're confronted by political or social pressures. U of M scientists across the board are dealing with this issue on a regular basis, are concerned with this issue, and I think are part of the solution to overcoming the obstacles to conducting unbiased science and sharing the results and conclusions with the broader public and policymakers.
Nadelhofer is professor of ecology and evolutionary biology.
This has been a production of the University of Michigan News Service. Visit us on the web at www.umich.edu/news.